Good morning, everybody. Once again, Mike Raley here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener, hour number two. And Nelson Cox is with us this morning. Brother Rufus is also standing over there, or sitting over there.
Tagging along. With two experts.
I am no expert.
It's all about
gardening.
The experience, and you got more than us.
Well, now, if you talk about road rage warrior, yes, sir. I've got more road rage.
What?
Road rage for plants.
Okay.
There you go.
That's what we're talking about. Oh yeah, no normal road rage for me.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I've often said that people say, "Why do you keep doing the garden show? You got to get up on a Saturday morning."
Who asks you that?
Well, almost everybody, and I say, "Well, because I enjoy it, and I learn something every time." I learned from Nelson every time she's on, I learn something new. Callers call in and drop some hint, and you just we've got a great group of listeners out there.
We do.
And I'm amazed
every
day.
Except for the ones who think you should leave.
That's right.
Well, they say, why do you want to get up at 5:30 in the morning to go to, say Fuquay or Sanford? Because I got to, or Mike will leave me.
It's Well, it is fun. I mean,
well,
that's,
Friday night's just another school night.
Hey, man.
So,
and it's a popular show.
I
rarely say anything like that, but it's a popular show.
It definitely
it's
is.
It's always had good ratings, and that's what's important here.
Yeah,
is ratings. But I mean, since 1945, the show's had good ratings.
I think the diversity of plant knowledge and folks you have brought on over the years, and of course, again, the wise Rufus contributing, and I just think that it's helpful to our listeners to exposed to expertise in the plant world, which is so large. But sometimes you have Gerald, who's very knowledgeable of many things, but his passion is, peppers and tomatoes and stuff like that. So I just think it's great. That's what part makes it. And yeah. I want to interject something about Fuquay Verena. Well, not really about Fuquay Verena, but Bob and Joyce Coates, today is their 72nd wedding anniversary.
Gee whiz.
And I saw her yesterday in Fuquay, well, at the Costco. I saw her yesterday. They both look great. They are just up and down.
So nice.
Good health, but 72 years. Great.
Good genes.
Yes.
Really good genes. I was listening to a doctor. He was talking about that. Ultimately, I mean, you can do all kinds of things, but ultimately, it's your genes that these centenarians.
Yeah.
Haven't done anything that's special.
Good eating and stuff contributing to.
Well, even if you don't eat well, you still may live to 100 because
true.
You have those good genes. According to this doctor, he's a nationally known.
Well, she
doctor.
Was hugging my neck and giggling that she still has part of the border that I planted some 30 years ago. And they were, it was a McFetter's cypress, kind of like a blue eye cypress, McFetter's cypress, and some of the cryptomerias. And she's like, they're 30, 40 feet tall, and they block. They always thought a neighborhood would be built behind them, and it has. And now they, so they're blocked out. But Which is a good thing. But,
yeah.
Because they live in a little bit of the rural. It's in the city, but it's rural. Or they have a private, nice piece of properties. But anyway, great. Happy anniversary to Bob and Joyce Coates.
I don't know an anniversary song, do y'all? I don't know. We can't sing to them because I don't know one.
But they are the sweetest couple.
Rufus, you know
an anniversary song?
Yeah.
Not really. Not really.
Well,
I can do them a poem. Thou seem'st like a flower so pure and sweet and fair that each time I touch your hair, I implore God to keep you young and pure and sweet and fair.
I love
nice.
It.
Nice. Who
I
wrote that?
Well, a man named Heinrich Heine.
Now, why did you warm up to that? Where'd you run across that?
It just came to mind about people 72 years old.
No, been married 72.
Been married 72 years. Must love one another.
I would say so.
Yes.
The cutest, cutest couple. Thank you for saying that beautiful poem.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Do that again.
Thou seem'st like a flower so pure and sweet and fair that each time I touch your hair, I implore God to keep you young and pure and sweet and fair.
Nice. I like
George,
that.
George, you like that? Did you?
Shake your head.
No. You weren't listening to that poem. He did it two times. You didn't listen to that love poem?
Oh, my goodness.
Joel is editing in there. Don't bother me anymore. Hey, we need to talk to Elliot in Greensboro.
Oh, goody.
Hey, Elliot.
Good morning, friends.
How are you today, my friend? Do you know where Julian is? Julian, North Carolina?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's where Nelsa grew up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have some comments about the Apex ambassador, our friend J.C. Knowles.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He grew up in the Oxford Orphanage, which is now the Masonic Home for Children. He was in the Merchant Marine during World War II. And in 1954, he married his wife, Dolly Mae Smith, on the Bride and Groom TV show.
Okay, that's what
we
were...
J.C. instead of... Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, okay. That's what we were trying to figure out, what show that was.
Yeah. So, anyway, I continue to thoroughly enjoy listening to you guys every week and just keep on keeping on.
Well, Elliot, I appreciate you calling and reminding us
of
Elliot,
that. Did you see the latest Tar Heel Traveler where Scott Mason showed J.C. getting married on that TV show?
I did not see it. I heard you talking about that earlier, and I will be sure to ask Jim and I to help me find that.
Great. Yeah, the weekend, I started to say Weekend Gardener.
Yeah, surely to help you find it.
Tar Heel Traveler.
I will look that up. I will look that up. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Elliot, very much.
Goodbye.
And by the way, our friend Dave Bolick is still a good listener. I had one of my classes...
Well,
yesterday,
he needs to call us once in a while.
It's called Institute of Political Leadership, and there's a young man there from Auditor Bolick's office and said that Brother Bolick still listens. He needs to go ahead and call us.
Yeah,
and come on
I
the
know
show,
he's busy.
Come on the show with us.
Yeah.
If you're out there, Mr. Auditor, give us a call and let us know.
He's out there. He's probably working today.
Probably is.
How
would we like a Cliff Joyner saying
let's,
of the day.
Let's get her in early.
Let's go ahead here. let's see what Cliff said. If you don't see a clear path for what you want, sometimes you have to make it yourself. All right? Did that ring true there? If you don't have a path, cut one.
I bet that's what you did.
Yes. If you don't have a
clear path. All great people do. All successful people do. Joel says a caller had a question about trimming gardenias.
Okay.
And she's shy. So she just wants us to
maybe
talk
her
about
name it. Is maybe her name is Carol.
I don't know. It was a guy. Okay. Well, he's shy. I wouldn't do it right now.
I would not prune gardenias back now. So we go into kind of, you know, if we do, the best time to prune a gardenia is probably, and I'm assuming there's so many questions that we can't ask. So, what is the reason for trying to prune it? Has it gotten too big? Is it impeding you know, a walkway or a stairwell, or I mean, what? There's just so many questions. But if it's where it's just gotten too large and you feel like you need to trim or cut it back, usually cutting it a third back, maybe, late March would be okay. But again, it depends on kind of what kind of gardenia it is. But I probably wouldn't cut more than a third to half back, and I would wait till the third, fourth week of March.
Well, if it's like the one you gave me, a twice a year bloomer,
true,
you certainly wouldn't cut it back now.
Yeah, and the other time you could prune them is after they flower.
I have one that flowers so late, almost June and July,
which is fine. Which is fine, and then we still have a lot of growth as long as you're trying to get it pruned back before or by Labor Day or no later than than mid-September. That way it has time to flush out.
I think you can be pretty assured that if it's the old-fashioned one,
yeah,
like most of us have around 20, 30 years ago, the pruning after the flowering is
the best
probably
way.
Wisest advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for most thing, or I guess just about everything that blooms in the spring.
That's the rule right there.
Yeah.
If it's spring blooming, prune it after it flowers.
What's the name of that one that you gave me that blooms twice a year?
The let's see, it was the guy in Pittsburgh.
Right, we saw him down there one time.
Yeah, Philip Dark. He has two, and I'm trying to think. Hang on, I'll tell you.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, the Prince Charles.
Prince Charles was one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I got from you, the Prince Charles.
Yeah.
And it doesn't bloom as much in the fall as it does the spring, sort of like azalea, Encore azaleas.
Maybe it'll do it when it gets a little more mature or something.
Did you say Crown Jewel?
We didn't say Crown Jewel.
I think I gave you was Crown Jewel.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, breeder. I'm sure
I have a Prince Charles.
Yeah,
I have both of them.
You've mentioned Prince Charles several times.
I think the Crown Jewel
was the one from Philip Dark. Yeah.
Well, he was a nice man. I think he lives down at the beach. But he was up. We were doing a remote between Siler City, pretty really close to Siler City in Pittsburgh, but on 64. But he came by to visit. And we sat out there and leaned up against the truck and talked a long time.
Boy, they've turned his nursery into a big tree farm.
You've
been by there?
Yes, yes, many times.
I've been wanting to stop, and I asked a couple nursery growers if they know who it is, and they don't. So find out who this person is. They're doing a good job.
Maybe they're doing some maples.
Yeah, and Philip also, so Mike, you can relate to this. As you're driving, 64 West, and you pass his nursery, which would be on the left, you'll notice a lot of the green giant arborvitas, but then when you get to the north end, there's some that are very, very, very short. That's where North Pole arborvita came from. So that was kind of another one. I believe that's the
name. Oh, you mean that big hedge of arborvita?
Yeah,
yes.
And then all of a sudden there's some short ones. So they're planted at the same time. It's not that they hadn't grown. It's just I should say a mutated version or cultivar that became...
Like they were planted to be a hedge.
There's a house...
A border from the highway. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a house out there. I'm sure it was part of the property at one time. It's a Georgian house, two-story. It's beautiful, but it has cedar shake.
Oh, I don't think I've noticed that.
It's just
is
gorgeous.
Is it set off the road?
No, it's right on.
Oh,
it's right on 64. If you're heading west, it's on the right.
Oh, on the right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The nursery's on the left. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Take note of that because
are they working on it?
I don't know.
I've seen some constructions. I'll have to look.
Yeah. It's been there for as long as I can remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about.
It's very southern looking, the style. It's got the cedar shakes all over of the siding. All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. We'll be talking with Brother Billy out at the State Farmers Market.
Oh, boy.
We're going to talk to Billy. Haven't talked to Billy in a while.
Hell yeah. Hello, Billy.
Out of the State Farmers Market. If we can get the communications over that that Christmas parade that's going by. That don't try to drive through downtown Raleigh right now, folks. We'll be back. We're back on WPTF. Yeah, we're going to talk to Billy coming up after the 9:30 news. Miss Monica says that there are several growers and tons of Christmas tree and wreaths and garlands. And Logan's has some poinsettias out there. So we're getting into the Christmas season here.
I love it.
The weather's not cooperating. It doesn't feel like Christmas Day, but it feels nice. Mm-hmm. Nice out there for the Raleigh Christmas Parade, and that's going on today. And so stay away from downtown Raleigh for a while unless you intend to go to the Christmas Parade. So that would, I hope old George is open today at the Roast Grill, so he'll get a lot of business out of those folks.
I think we all need to go to the Roast Grill.
We need to take it over soon. Of course, that won't take very much since they only seat about six.
A third of us.
I would love for the three of us to go sometime soon.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's George is an amazing
person. I'd be a little bit
person hairy
today.
Yeah, well, not today.
Yeah, we'd have. There's no way to get in there today because it's a very busy Raleigh Christmas Parade. Great tradition. And a wonderful parade.
An institution.
It really is. So I hope everybody is, looks like a lot of people are down there and a little bit of traffic. So take heed of that. If you're used to making your way to work or to some destination through downtown Raleigh on a Saturday morning, then turn around and take another route, as our traffic people would tell you. All right, 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. Anything in the vet? We started out talking a little bit about kale because Gary Stevenson from Spectrum Weather, chief meteorologist over there, was on the show last week, and he brought us some kale, the cooking kind, with beef broth, used a wok, beef broth,
sounds great.
Kale.
And pepper flakes.
And pepper flakes. I think that's about it, but it and warmed it up here, and it was it wasn't bad.
Well, yes, I got it down.
You cleaned your plate.
Yeah, I cleaned my plate.
I hope you
because
told
your
Linda.
Mama told you to clean your plate.
Yeah, Grandma said the little children starving in China.
Yeah,
I hope you told Linda. I'm sure she was proud of you.
Oh, no question. She said, "Oh, kale."
Oh, kale. Well. So is there anything else in the vegetable world? I mean, I guess we need to be harvesting some things.
I did bring you and Rufus some broccoli. So broccoli is one of my favorites. Cabbage, and of course with this upcoming Thanksgiving, hopefully there are some collard greens. And
I'd rather have turnip greens.
Turnip greens, yeah. All of it's good, but cool season stuff, radishes. You know, good time to plant garlic, spring onions. But I there's all kinds of stuff to harvest. Absolutely. Yeah. Sweet potatoes and.
Well, I'm going to do a stir fry with my broccoli tonight. Stir fry potatoes, onions, broccoli, and peppers.
Love it.
Does that sound good?
Sounds right.
In
sounds
olive
right
oil. Yeah. Not a whole cup, but.
Now, did he say we had a caller holding or not?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Well,
now we're going to talk to Billy after the news. We're right close to the news.
Okay,
here.
Then I think we need to keep talking about the broccoli.
Well, I tell you, I like broccoli because Melissa makes it with a cream sauce and puts toasted breadcrumbs on top.
Really? Wow. I've never heard of such.
Casserole.
Man, live.
And
I
cheese.
Like that.
And it's a cheese. It's so good.
So
that's not the most nutritious way to eat it.
Well, and I like to put mine even in breakfast casseroles.
I think one of my grandsons likes broccoli. I don't know which one.
I like to put it in soup. My mother does not. She thinks it gets too mushy. But I like it just lightly steamed. I like it raw. Broccoli is just a well-versed dish to serve. I know some kids you gotta pour the cheese on it, but What a great, and cauliflower. I didn't plant cauliflower this year, but cauliflower is a good one too. And like I say, my cabbage is about 3 weeks behind, just because of the lack of rain. It was easier for us to get to the broccoli to water, but I just made two breakfast casseroles and.
That means you put egg in it some way.
I did. Okay. I put lots of eggs and cheese, lots of cheese.
Miss Monica says they do have their farmer back who has shelled field peas.
Oh, yum.
As well as dry peas. I mean, this is late in the season, too.
It is.
How about that? All right, we'll talk to Billy, find out more about that and the Christmas trees coming up on the Weekend Gardener. Back on WPTF with Weekend Gardener. I hope you're doing well this morning. And do we have Billy on? We got Brother Billy Howell out at the State Farmers Market. Howell for us one time there, Billy.
I'm trying to.
Can't get up the energy this morning, though.
I guess I'm sorry.
So Monica was mentioning y'all got right many Christmas trees out there right now.
We have a building full of Christmas trees and a parking lot full of Christmas trees.
Oh my goodness. Well, are you in the Christmas spirit, Billy?
I am getting there. When I walked in that building, I smelled all that.
I know.
Christmas tree smell. Oh my God.
Does it for me. I love coming out to the farmer's market and walking among the trees, the Christmas trees. And I'm sure you have wreaths and all that goes with it, right?
We do have, I seen a eucalyptus tree last night. Somebody had purchased it. It was pretty.
Oh, and, eucalyptus.
Eucalyptus wreath. And then I saw a magnolia wreath down there. So it's got several varieties.
That must be Aaron Weston doing the magnolia wreaths. Weston Farms.
No, ma'am. This was the Aaron.
Okay.
But she probably would be coming.
Excellent.
I think it was Sanderson's Farms had magnolias.
Okay,
that's a really good addition to a wreath of magnolia leaves. I think this makes it really special. I like the idea of the eucalyptus. I like the smell of eucalyptus.
Yeah,
we had a big old tree out here, a eucalyptus tree, for years, but the cold snaps finally got them. A couple of really bad cold snaps, and we cut it down last year because it was out in the back parking lot here, of all places.
I used to park beside that.
Yeah. And I've seen one. There used to be one on Whitaker Mill Road in Raleigh. Used to be a huge one. I don't know if it's still there or not. I haven't been down there in a while. But that's an interesting-looking tree, if you can protect it.
They're sort of like a Daphne. They just won't live that long. I had one go about 10 years.
I've
that's
got
a good
one
run.
That's at least 20.
Oh, well,
it may be more than that.
Hmm.
That odd looking one that I have
kind of runs on the ground some. Or
it looks like it's made a hedge around a Mahonia.
Okay,
I've showed you that before.
Yeah.
It was one that I had forgotten and just left it in the pot, and it grew into the ground, the roots, and then the pot split open and fell away, and it was right up against the house, facing the north, and it started moving around the Mahonia, a huge Mahonia, which was right beside it, and it is now almost halfway around it.
Wow.
It can't go all the way around it because it can't grow through cement.
Wow, that's
so
cool.
It's extraordinary looking, and it's filled with buds right now. So I'm looking forward to a good bloom year once we get into February, I guess, or whenever, depending on what kind of weather we have. So you got that, and Monica also pointed out that there's a guy who is growing field peas. He's still growing field peas.
He is, and it is amazing. He has dried peas and fresh peas.
Wow.
And he has them in pork jars, and it's so many different varieties that he has. And he, I talked to him a little bit last weekend, and he was telling me, you know, that he just thought that he would be able to get a late crop off, and so he gambled a little bit, went for it, and that's a good thing for us because now we have peas out here in November.
That's great.
Nice. What variety are they? Do you know?
He has several varieties. That's what I'm saying. He had a bunch of different varieties, but I don't recall the varieties he did have.
Well, I wonder what his secret is. I mean, that farmers are so inventive and creative.
He said he just gambled on it because of the temperature.
Oh, okay. Well,
that and some good rainfall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't had a lot of that, but you know, having the dry peas is a good alternative. But my gosh,
for planning to be able to have all that seed too to plant, mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, and I know we have a bunch of Crowders and Dixie Lee. Monica texted me a few things too to help me out here because my memory, I don't know, I got overwhelmed with Christmas trees, I believe.
Well, I got to go out into hunting and get me some more fat back since we got those peas. We're gonna have to.
Yeah, I tell you what, Dan, it's Thanksgiving. Is this coming week?
Yep.
And this is a one-stop shop. You can get your Christmas tree.
Yep.
And you can go to Logan's and grab a poinsettia. You can get your turkeys. You can get your pork. You can get your sweet potatoes and squash and all the fixings.
Your dessert? Get your dessert out there, too?
Oh, man, you can get some dessert.
And now, if you take your girlfriend one of these pies from up here, you're probably guaranteed a second date.
Is that what you always gave your girlfriends was pies?
Well, I did until my wife found out.
Yeah. Well, at that note, we're going to settle down and take a break here. We'll be back. We're back on WPTF. Mike Rayleigh here, and Rufus Edmonston, and Nelson Cox. And Brother Billy Howell out at the State Farmers Market. Billy, did your wife call you during that break? Or?
I'm kind of scared to go home.
I know, you just kind of let that slip out. That's dangerous, man.
Yeah.
But, the cakes and pies and all kinds of things out there, and there are a lot of vendors who are under the out there in special places and under the farmer sheds and bakeries and cookies and all kinds of things there. What kind of vegetables do you have out there besides the peas?
We have carrots and plenty of sweet potatoes, a lot of variety. In fact, I picked me up a box of Covetons this morning and a box of the purple sweet potatoes. We got that. We got cauliflower and got winter squash and still have some peppers. A lot of greens. And I don't know if I saw any kale down there. I forgot to look for Rufus.
I bet Brussels sprouts and broccoli.
Is that where you normally see Rufus hanging out around the kale?
Right, where they sell kale at. Yeah, I think he's one of their biggest.
You just put on a big show, Rufus, about not liking kale, but you kind of hang around
secretly.
Well, I think it's subliminal.
A secret kale eater.
I've been going to an exorcist to try to get rid myself of my dislike of kale, and I'm on about the eighth step.
Well, you ate some last week, yes. So that made the confirmation, the reformation period has started.
Well, and Rufus, you missed it, but Billy said that he got him a box of Covington sweet potatoes, and I started to interject that I got me a bottle of Covington sweet potatoes from man Rufus.
Isn't that nice? Yes, sweet potato vodka?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. A little nip is good for the soul.
Yeah. I have a niece who married a Covington.
Oh.
But I think they're from up in Rutherfordton area. So.
Okay. I used to work down there by Yamco, and they made that pasta there, too.
Where is that, Billy?
You used to work?
In Greene County.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's where this Covington comes from.
Okay.
Our friend Bobby, he's the biggest sweet potato man in North Carolina.
He is, and I work right beside his farm.
At some point, they're going to have a brewery or something out at the State Farmers Market.
Well,
there was a
proposal, Mike, that occur, and I brought it to
distillery
to the attention of the folks out there, and it didn't quite go over.
Yeah.
Like you want a Ferris wheel out there.
Yeah.
That never went over either.
Well, we're not going to give up.
No.
Not going to give up. But I just see it's such a destination area with Dix Park and the Farmers Market, Centennial Campus.
Oh, yeah.
And there's just so much going on behind the scenes. There's got to be something out there. There's got to be a distillery or brewery out there at some point.
Billy, I believe we were talking about Bobby Ham, weren't we?
Ham, yeah.
Bobby Ham.
That's right. You know, I rode by his place going between his packing house and, what's that little town over there? Like going back over to where Stantonburg. And I rode by the back of his packing, curing houses, and I thought it was an airport.
Wow.
And I'm not joking. I really thought it was a little airplane house.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a big operation.
Yes, indeed.
Well, it could be because I think he is by far the largest sweet potato producer in North Carolina, I think, Billy. I don't know, but I know Bobby Ham. He's a fine gentleman,
fine guy, and you know, and it's like out here, these farmers. What I like about buying here is local.
Yes,
just
indeed.
Like Ham is, you know, but here you get a little bit more. You can talk to the farmer, and I found out a new recipe, and I've got to try this from my guy where I bought these sweet potatoes from. He said you got to cut one in half, turn the skin side up, put a little oil on it, and bake them for about 20 minutes, and then eat skin and out. Now, that ain't how I normally cook them. But
you wash it off.
I reckon or wipe it off on your pants leg or
something. Well, Bobby, I eat the skin anyway. Without doing that, I eat the skin.
Well, that's good. I mean, you should for the potatoes, too.
Yeah, I think if you don't
any
wash
kind of potato,
it's going to be a lot of dirt in your mouth.
Yeah, I would recommend washing them off. Wouldn't you, Nelson?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you grew up on a farm. But
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely have to wash.
Well, let's move up into the market shops.
Move
where,
up into
where
the food
pies,
chain.
Pies and the cakes are.
Yeah, I want to know where that double tandem chocolate cake, there's about 12 layers, I call it the double tandem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they put that together.
Meticulously.
That's a skill.
Yes.
Yeah, just a thin little layer. When they cut them, I mean, they're like a quarter inch or something. It's
oh, yeah.
I think it'd be really interesting to watch them make that sometime.
Oh, I've thought about that.
Yeah.
You know, you come up here in the market shops and you look around at those pretty cinnamon rolls, and you look at the pies, and then you look at those nine-layer cakes.
And then I see a
hot dog.
Then I see my doctor's face. That's the problem.
Well, we have culinary artists is what we have. Because everything just looks so good.
It does. And tastes good, too.
Yeah. It does. And smells good.
I know.
I don't know why I kept gaining weight once I came to work.
Yes, indeedy. Well, there's the Market Grill. You can get you a breakfast right now, or you can wait a little while and get you a mustard, slaw mustard chili and onion Rufus dog.
I almost went to Kemp's yesterday. It was probably about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and I thought, well, I've got time to get down Lake Wheeler Road and run get me some seafood at the farmer's market. But then I got thinking about commuting home with all that traffic, so I'm going to have to wait and do that a weekday when I come back next week.
Yeah, and you can't eat while you're driving.
No,
anyway.
not that kind of food.
Not shrimp and stuff.
And you're going to have to take some home with you. So you know,
I know. Otherwise, you sit there all day and eat.
Yeah.
I don't know why he didn't call it all you can eat, because it's they give you such big portions. Yeah.
The best potato wedges anywhere. Nobody comes close.
They are good.
Just incredible.
Yeah, they know how to do it right. He does. He does a fine job with it. We're lucky to have somebody that's been that loyal to the farmer's market area for all these years and consistent.
And his dear
always
sweet mother.
Good.
Yeah.
And his daddy, I knew his daddy very well when he was the
sheriff,
high sheriff of Orange County. And his mother's a big listener.
Yes, indeed.
She is.
Kemp doesn't have time. He's cooking all the time. Yeah. All right, so we've established that we have great, but do you have a lot of other things? Thanksgiving coming up, and there are a lot of places within the farmer's market complex, including the market shops, where you can buy things for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, so all different types of seasonings,
and 3-2-1 coffee,
yeah.
Mm. And of course the farmer's market restaurant.
No, you can't go wrong over there.
No, biscuits.
You're not going to be hungry.
Biscuits. That's I'd like to have a biscuit right now. Wouldn't y'all?
Sure.
Yeah, but Lance's.
I don't know. I got some honey in the car.
Nelson gave us some honey.
Who gave us that honey, or who made that honey?
So
besides the bees,
the guardian angel in Fuquay, the founder's daughter, who lives in Tennessee now, she lives in Chattanooga. She harvested that honey this year and sent me some honey bears, so I was sharing it with you.
Man, oh man, thank you so much. So and I'm sure you got honey out there for sale too, haven't you, Billy?
We do. Have regular spun honey and plain honey and honey with honeycombs in it.
I bet you got sourwood honey. That's my favorite.
We got sourwood honey.
And you got to make sure that it's real sourwood honey, because not at the farmer's market, but you have to be careful where you buy it, because it may not be really sourwood honey. So you have to you have to be particular. Those bees don't want to have their stuff, their honey sold if it's not legitimate.
And I know up in market shops at Ken Pierce's, he has bee pollen, little yellow round balls in a little.
Does that make you sneeze?
I don't know. I ain't stuck my nose in there, but I've probably seen several people going in there buying lady ass.
Well, it's got to be good for you.
What do you do with the pollen?
You sniff it.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's little balls, though.
It's probably something for your health.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, because all that's good. Well, Ken has some really interesting things there. Ken, he really does.
Get jams and jellies and all kinds of good stuff.
And there's Rufus's skincare place down there that has all the creams. I like those creams.
Aloe vera. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Cheeses and the Bertie County peanuts that are there.
They got that. Yeah,
peanuts good for you.
Lots of local North Carolina food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fudge guy. Don't leave the fudge guy out.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
You don't like that stuff, do you, Rufus?
I just like a hog and slop.
little fudge in between one of those biscuits. I wonder how that would be.
You know, talking about biscuits and molasses. The waitress up there at the restaurant told me this week, she said, have you ever put molasses and peanut butter together and stir it up and then put that on the biscuit? And
That sounds like an Elvis thing.
But I love peanut butter with anything.
Yeah, I want to try it.
Oh.
I like peanut butter and bananas.
Peanut butter ice cream, I love that, yes.
Well, and Logan's has poinsettias, but they got a lot of other stuff over there, hadn't they?
They have Christmas trees up there. They have poinsettias. They have all types of Christmas ornaments and plenty of Christmas gifts between the fountains and the beautiful potteries and all the different little plants they have in their greenhouses and trees outside.
And they usually have beautiful wreaths that they bring in, too, that are just gorgeous.
Billy, have you read all the notes that Monica's given you? I've read all the notes that she sent me. She's listening right now, so make sure.
I hope I ain't say nothing wrong.
No, your wife's the only one that thinks that.
You got a lawyer out here, Billy.
That's right.
Good deal.
I wouldn't take a case against Monica, though.
No. So we just want to make sure.
My daddy would approve of that attorney, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right. Well, Billy, you have a big time today.
I'm going to. Y'all come see us.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Billy.
Happy Thanksgiving, Billy. Talk to you folks next Saturday. All right. That's Billy Howell out of the State Farmers Market. And thanks to Miss Monica. She's always working. Always working.
She's a sharp gal, I'm telling
you that. She is. If anybody ever deserved that job, it's her.
She's in the parade?
And she knows
she's hopefully she's at home spending some time with her family because she doesn't get to do that very much.
Yeah, that lady knows agriculture.
Yeah,
she sure does.
Well, she does. Well, she grew up around it and was out at the farmer's market for so many years. There've been some really good market managers out there. I don't know who the first market manager was. I know that the Jim Graham was a.
I thought it was. Charlie
Edwards?
Yeah. Well, at the new location. Anyway.
Yeah, at the new location it was. Yeah. But I don't know how far it goes back.
You mean 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean late 80s? Is that when it was? Early 90s. Early 90s, I guess it was.
Yeah, it was 93 or 4, I believe. Yeah. Oh.
Well, I know Irv and I did a remote 92. Out there. So, yeah, 92 is more like it.
92.
All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF.